Two in Torquay by Alan Bennett, with Judy Dench as Miss Plunkett and Alan Bennett as Mr. Mortimer.
Is this anyone's chair?
Not this minute.
And I'm not trespassing on your preserves, invading your space, like you say nowadays.
No.
Good. Well, I'll bag it while I can. These chairs at the window are always at a premium.
Well, it's the sea.
I beg your pardon?
It comes in, it goes out. Anything else, it would be called shilly-shallying.
Yes. Still thinking about raining. Can't seem to make up its mind.
My point exactly. More indecision.
First the sea, now the sky. You seem at odds with the entire universe.
Well, perhaps I am.
Alone today?
I beg your pardon?
No boss lady.
Oh, lying down. We had a walk onto the clock tower. She overdid it. She often overdoes it. Are you two acquainted?
Oh, nods, we smile. She's a handsome woman.
Oh, yes. Very good for her age is a frequent comment. She looks after herself as the other.
Is that true? It's you who look after her.
Well, I'm glad someone's noticed.
Could one help but notice? The drudgery, the devotion, the readiness always to fetch and carry, it warms the heart.
Not mine.
Well, you see, I'm old-fashioned, sentimental even. There's so few of your sort left.
I haven't got the faintest idea of what you're talking about.
Dear lady, look at yourself. The knitting bag, the shapeless cardigan, the self-effacing attention to your employer's every whim. Like the horse trough and the drinking fountain, you're a piece of social history. You are that thing of the past, the companion.
The companion? I'm not the companion. Mrs. Plunkett's not my employer, she's my mother.
Oh.
And anyway, my cardigan is meant to be shapeless. This sort is very fashionable now. Mother says it suits me.
Do forgive me. Of course, I see the resemblance now.
No, you don't. And even if there was a resemblance, you wouldn't see it. Because, unlike my mother, I don't spend every other afternoon at the hairdresser's. I'm not dolled up to the nines in dresses designed for a woman half my age. And I don't spend every moment of my waking life thinking of me, 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 me.
You seem to have touched a raw nerve.
Oh, how? I have no nerves, no feelings, no emotions. After 40 years of servitude, there's nothing left in my heart that could even be called human.
Surely, Miss... It is, Miss.
Oh, what do you think?
Surely, Miss Plunkett, things aren't as bleak as all that.
A bleak? Is the surface of the moon bleak? Is Warrington on a Sunday morning bleak? Is the square on the hypotenuse equal to the sum of the squares on the other two sides?
Oh.
I spend my days catering to the needs of a three-quarters empty bottle of Jay's fluid. Of course it's bleak.
Miss Plunkett. Betty.
You know my name?
It's embroidered on your knitting bag. There is hope, Betty.
Where?
It's in the nature of the companion that she's never entirely extinguished. A spark must always linger, an ember that will one day begin to glow so that the spirit takes fire. She takes off her glasses. May I? She unpins her hair, hurls away her knitting bag, and leaving her employer outraged and weeping, sets off in search of love and life. It's what always happened to Bette Davis. Why should it not happen to you?
Because, you verbose fool, I've no money. I've no skills. I can't drive. I cannot even type. All I can do is keep Mother company.
And wait.
Yes, wait.
Until she dies. They do die, of course, parents. Eventually.
Did you have a mother, Mr...
Mortimer, Arthur Mortimer. I had a father, which comes to the same thing. He died. There are no other relations.
No, there's only me.
And your mother is not passionate about any cause in particular. I'm thinking about the will.
My mother's sole interest is in herself.
Don't be too certain.
What do you mean?
Making a will is a dangerous moment. Life, after all, is on the turn. The timid become bold, the faint-hearted draw courage. The act of writing a will often induce a fit of insane benevolence towards anyone and everything except those who properly deserved it. There is no cause, however undeserving, proof against the fatuous generosity of the ageing testator, or in your case, testatrix. Has she made a will?
Yes.
And have you seen it?
No. She says she's left me everything.
She says that cardigan suits you.
What can I do?
What is there to do but wait?
Yeah, and wait until nature takes its course.
Quite. But as nature takes its course with her, So it is taking its course with you. None of us gets any younger.
And I haven't lived. When is my life going to start?
Miss Plunkett, please. Look on the bright side. Anything can happen. A faulty electric blanket, perhaps. Food poisoning. A bout of salmonella, some tepid chicken, a dodgy prawn. A dizzy do on a tall balcony. It can be so simple.
You're not suggesting...
That you should do away with your mother? No. You would immediately fall under suspicion.
But you wouldn't.
I? Why should I want to murder your mother?
Money.
You have none.
I will have when the time comes. She wouldn't be missed, except by a hairdresser and a chiropodist. That apart, who cares?
You? Well?
No. I could not do it. Well, ask you to do it.
Sure?
Yes.
The right decision. I'm glad. Now you can return to your task with renewed dedication. Mother and her continuing welfare. Making her comfortable, Miss Plunkett. Exhausting yourself in her service day in, day out. Prolonging her days. Even at the risk of shortening your own.
Oh, God.
And here, unless I'm very much mistaken, comes Mother. Though she seems a little peeved.
Yes, you're sitting in her chair.
Oh, I'd better push off. Bye, Betty.
Damn. Damn. Damn.
Ah, Miss Plunkett, we meet again. Did you enjoy the lunch? How is your fish?
Swimming in water.
No, Mother?
Today is the anniversary of Father's death. She likes to spend it turning over her cherished mementos. Letters of credit, chiefly, share certificates and such like. They grow more precious year by year.
And how is she in herself?
Never better.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. I saw in the Reader's Digest the other day there's no reason why useful, productive life nowadays should not go on beyond 90.
90?
Yes. And the good news is, women last longer than men.
Listen, Mr. Mortimer, are you prepared to cast the suggestions you made to me the other day in the form of a definite proposition?
I'm sorry. What suggestions were those?
When we spoke the other day.
I recall no suggestions, Miss Plunkett. Perhaps you could refresh my memory.
Oh.
What are you saying, Miss Plunkett?
Do I have to spell it out?
I would prefer it. I wouldn't like there to be any misunderstanding.
I'm saying, Mr. Mortimer, that I would like my mother to suffer an unfortunate accident.
And?
That I would like you to arrange it as soon as possible.
I see. Good. Now, Miss Plunkett, I wonder if I might draw your attention to this bulge in my trousers. It's not perhaps quite what you may imagine. Nature, while fair, has not been over-generous. No, alas, this distinct protuberance is only a radio transmitter. I have to tell you, Miss Plunkett, I am bugged.
Bugged?
Every word of our conversation has been digitally recorded.
Oh.
No, please. Miss Plunkett, do not attempt to wrest the offending apparatus from between my legs. Not merely would the gesture be open to misinterpretation, it would also be futile, as this package is only the transmitter tuned to recording apparatus which is elsewhere. What is important to grasp is that everything you have said, particularly your suggestion that I should do away with your mother, has been recorded. And can be played back to any interested party.
You mean my mother?
Your mother, the police, help the aged, anybody.
But it was you. You asked me if I wanted her murdered.
Come, come, Miss Plunkett. Do I look like a contract killer? No, no. I never had any intention of murdering your mother. Excuse me one moment while I unzip my trousers and switch off the recording apparatus. There we are. No, as I was saying, my intentions, dishonourable as they were much less dramatic. I shall require a payment now and again, just so that I keep my mouth shut. After all, we don't want Mother upsetting. Upset her and she might leave everything to the cat's home.
But I've no money. Mother has the money. That's the point.
Well, she's diamond earrings, some ruby clips, not to mention a wonderful emerald brooch. And she's getting on. The memory fails. Were the odd item to disappear, she might think it mislaid. You're a resourceful woman. You've proved that.
Blackmail.
Yes, Betty. The ugly word.
Betty?
I feel that we know each other well enough. And we shall probably get to know each other better as time goes on. In the meantime, perhaps you could give me a modest cheque to cover the hire of the sound equipment and so on. Shall we say £100?
And shall I make it out to Mr. Mortimer, Mr. Arthur Mortimer?
Yes.
Not to Mr. Cyril Copestake or Mr. Percy Tessimond, Duncan Bracegirdle or Mr. Hubert Crisp?
I don't understand.
Don't you? Then take a look at my bust. Ample, as I'm sure you've noticed, and made ampler by this copious cardigan. But even swathed in dun-coloured knitwear, a certain asymmetry must be obvious. My left breast ampler than my right. Lay this not at nature's door, but blame it rather upon the presence of, yes, another radio transmitter, which has faithfully recorded every detail of your sordid scheme.
My sordid scheme? You wanted me to murder your mother?
Except that I have no mother.
But the old lady?
Far from being my mother. She is an ex-member of the BBC Radio Drama Repertory Company, retired but eminently respectable.
And you, who are you?
I am Detective Sergeant Alma Briscoe of the Torquay Vice Squad, and I must warn you, Mr. Satterthwaite, that anything you may say, etc., etc., I'm sure you're familiar with the form. Oh, I cannot tell you what pleasure it gives me to lay you by the heels. For too long, your foul little antics have brought wretchedness and misery to the ocean lounges of our grander seaside hotels. You have preyed too long on the natural antipathy all children feel for their parents, turning the minds of blameless elderly daughters and retiring sons to thoughts of felony and murder. A shadow has been lifted from the Cornish Riviera, Mr. Cutbush. Your career is over.
Oh, God.
Oh, I see you scanning the lounge for a means of escape. Do not even think of it, Mr. Archbold. That waitress serving tea, who's just tipped hot water over the elderly gentleman, she's a policewoman. The pianist, now taking his place at the piano in the Atlantic Lounge, a detective constable. No, Mr. F. Jack Pickerskill, this is what is known as a sting. So, if you'll kindly accompany me to the foyer without any fuss, we don't want a scene after all. I will put the cuffs on you there.
One question, Detective Sergeant.
Yes?
Just how did your own mother die?
Tragically. Having partaken of a plentiful meal of some pre-cooked chicken stuffed with dubious prawns, she decided to have a cup of Horlicks prior to taking her bath. As the salmonella, if such it was, began to take hold, she became dizzy and spilt the hot drink over her defective electric blanket. Oh. The shock from which, combined with a faulty brake on her wheelchair, caused her to precipitate herself over the side of the bath, where, had she not swiftly drowned, she must surely have died of exposure. I was hardly surprised when the verdict was brought in of death by misadventure. My genuine grief made a most favourable impression on the coroner.
You fiend.
After you, Mr. Cunliffe.
In Two in Torquay, by Alan Bennett, Judy Dench was Miss Plunkett, or rather Detective Sergeant Alma Briscoe, and Alan Bennett was Mr. Mortimer, or Mr. Cutbush, or Mr. F. Jack Pickerskill. The director was Gordon House. Probably.